This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Welcome back, everyone, to the People Who Speak radio show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Who Speak show normally airs every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS radio network. You can participate in the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. The number again, 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the Government and Politics section of PAL Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have a virtual radio room, the People Speak radio show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a fantastic show tonight. We're talking to a very special guest right here, a regular radio host on the radio show called Liberation Nation and an avid researcher into Earth changes. We're talking tonight to Mr. Rick Chicago, a.k.a. Earthplay, about the changes happening to the world today. He's an amateur astrophysicist and a geophysics researcher, a former fire safety officer for NASCAR, and a former hot air balloon operator. And for the last 5 or 6 years, Rick has studied the anomalies in our solar system and the events of the ever-changing Earth and its cycles, and he has come to some very chilling results. Rick's weekly coverage on Liberation Nation radio show has given him the reputation as a straight talker about topics to do with coming Earth changes. His specialities include the methane hydrate eruptions now taking place across the globe, the Fukushima extinction-level event, and the earthquake cycles attributed to the inner magma movements of the Earth. Mr. Earthplay is also a wilderness enthusiast, a pro-nature advocate who is trained in survivalist scenarios. Welcome to the People Speak radio show, Mr. Earthplay, sir.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
It's always fantastic to talk to you. It certainly is. We'll be taking some audience questions after the first half hour, but my first question to you, Mr. Earthplay, is how long have you been researching the terraforming of our Earth, and how did you get started?
It's probably started somewhere right before the Y2K debacle here in the United States, where everybody was waiting for the computers to crash, and I was working in an interesting place on a corporate campus where they wouldn't schedule anybody any time off during that time. They thought it was the worst case scenario. Everything was going to hit the fan. And it was right about that time that I started to realize that I needed to do a little bit of preparation. And at the same time, I was looking at solar cycle 23, which was really, really high at the time. And some extraordinary events were happening in our plasma physics, the weather, new kind of meteorological terms and clouds and systems being added. So probably right around 1998, 1999.
So that's quite a while that you've been researching this stuff. What have you come to any conclusion about what's happening to the world? Have you basically summed up what's going on our planet?
Oh, wow, that's a broad question. Boy, I caught me off guard there. Let's just call it a large uncontrolled experiment going on with our planet right now. It has nothing to do with the solar activity diminishing. The magnetic field is moving. The core of the Earth is changing. But we have uncontrolled experiments going on in the Earth's atmosphere, which is a finite atmosphere. We don't have any extra. We can't turn any valves or anything. With the release of nuclear material in our atmosphere, toxicity of every chemical that you can imagine. It's in our water. It's in our ground. It's in our air. It's in everything. It's in our food, GMOs, chemtrailing. The list goes on and on here, Steve. We have so many trigger points right now. You don't even know which way to go, you know. The state of our oceans, the acidification of our oceans, our food production is in jeopardy here. The extinction crisis is now being doubled on with the Fukushima effects and Ebola pandemics, breakouts, swine flu destroying our crops and our aviculture. You know, they just destroyed 7 billion turkeys, ducks, and chickens, and we've been having a problem with our swine industry for many years. We're down to 3 slaughterhouses, so it's essentially just a large uncontrolled experiment, and I don't like the conclusions. I don't like the way these graphs are going at all.
And a lot of these experiments are being done without any oversight by the large corporations that have taken over America. Is that not true?
Well, yes. And we didn't even get into any specifics of what's going on in our atmosphere. We have Tesla-type energy devices that are being used, ultra-low-frequency devices, high-frequency devices, most likely laser beams from space. We really don't have any kind of a handle on exactly what they're doing in our atmosphere, the weather wars, the geoengineering, and so on and so forth.
Do you believe that weather can be manipulated and is being manipulated by the U.S. government at the moment?
I can't prove it, but I feel that it is going on. There are treaties in the United Nations and between countries prohibiting the use of weather wars. They claim they have the abilities, but they claim to not use them. But then again, I think we can all cite examples where we think that manipulation has occurred, and there's also photographic imagery of manipulated hurricanes with anomalous thunderous storms on the leading edge, like it's being guided from space or a satellite or something of that nature. So I do feel that it is going on, but I could not prove it.
Well, for those who don't understand what earth changes are or what terraforming the earth actually means, can you explain a little bit more about what terraforming earth is actually about?
Well, it's taking the existing habitat and erasing it in order to build another habitat, like a city or a parking lot or water distillation, or to cut down a forest or to strip mine for diamonds or coal or any other precious mineral that they feel might be in the immediate area to rape and pillage. So they're taking the natural habitat and terraforming it into a society, which, you know, is not a terrible thing, and I understand the need for growth, but at the same time, we can also live in harmony with our environment. We don't have to pollute the ground and the water and the air and the habitat and the animals and everything else that we actually need to sustain ourselves is going extinct around us at a very alarming rate. And I don't know if it's apathy or people just have so much on their plate or feel that this is so much doom and gloom that they just turn it off. But it is a reality that is here with us right now. And be it global warming, rapid global change, whatever they want to call it, they're capitalizing on your fear. Yes, we are having global, rapid global weather changes. There are some very extreme examples that are happening just this week. So, you know, it's a fluid situation. And the more you know about these events, what's going on around you, the doom and the gloom and the fear fall away because you quickly realize that you can do things that are proactive. You can mitigate your exposure to Fukushima radiation. And if we all stand up with one voice, perhaps they'll get to a point where they'll curtail that toxic septic leak from Fukushima by even 1%. Maybe, you know, they'll start to address it. But as it is right now, we're in a runaway extinction level event.
You have talked about the extinction of many species of animals and marine life over the years, and you've drawn attention to that on your radio show. Can you tell us a bit more how desperate, how dire is this predicament that's happening right now?
I think it's the most pressing concern to humanity right now. If the United Nations was even worth the title, they would be addressing this, the governments of the world, the United States. But as it is, they tell you that our experts, and believe me, we need some new experts, from the Nuclear Regulatory Committee, the CDC, the federal government, tell you that there's nothing to worry about. It's an absolute lie and a denial. We have lost 200 species of well-known Pacific sea life just recently in the last couple of years, starfish being the most prominent. We lost 11 species. And most of the fishing stocks are gone. The anthropogenic fishing stocks are gone, as well as now it's coming up onto the shorelines as well. Plutonium and uranium have both been found on the West Coast. We have the emaciation, the starvation, and the enormous loss of elephant seals, seal lions, walruses, polar bears. I have not heard anything about the otters. I'm still looking at this, but in the last inspection of 5,400 known species, they were only able to find four species in the entire ecosystem in a 200-mile stretch along the Canadian border in the Pacific Ocean. That is drastic. That is more than drastic. This is so alarming that it should be talked about on every news program from now until they can at least curtail the emissions from Fukushima by just a miserable 1%. And that hasn't happened at all. No health advisories, no precautions, no word from our experts and our authorities. Man, we need some new experts.
Why do you think it is that the government, and especially these so-called experts and the media, are not raising the alarm about this? Why are they not telling people what's going on?
Well, this is getting to be an industry. The nuclear industry produces a product, which is the product of death, nuclear bombs. Just because they give you electrical wattage from a nuclear power plant, that is not the reason that it's there. To provide your community with electrical output, they are there to produce a product. And they have done a great job bringing in the media and Wall Street advertising crowds to throw a blanket over the American people like this is safe, clean, renewable energy. We need more of this for the future. But in the meantime, they're being very disingenuous. They're not talking about how all of these commercials are showing up on every radio and television station across the world about cancer institutes and cancer hospitals. And this is such a normal thing that everybody gets cancer. You know, it's just a fact of life, like going outside in the daylight. You know, cancer is just a part of our lives, and it need not be. Before the 1950s, cancer were about the most rare, the rarest instance of death that was recorded. Now, you know, these commercials are targeting young children, leukemia. It's just grotesque and sick that it has become so casual for the American people. And the more they watch this and the more they're subjected to it, the more that they're disconnected from it.
What would you say to the morons out there who think that nuclear power is awesome, that we need nukes?
Well, try to tell that to the dozens and dozens of mothers who in New Mexico, Oregon, and Washington, and not to even mention the people of Japan, all the dozens and dozens of children born recently here in the United States with very, very low media coverage, being born with their brains outside of their skull, known as encephalitis, mainly wow. Around the Hanford Nuclear Repository and inexplicably across Oregon.
That's just quite sickening, and why this is not making the headline news, I guess you summed it up, because it's an industry, and they want to protect that industry. Is that not true?
That is true, and it's not as though these things have not been reported, because they most certainly have. You know, I don't put much stock in news organizations like MSNBC, but I have to stand up and applaud them when they do a special on the Fukushima extinctions along the beach lines, the encephalitis, NBC's coverage of graveyards full of children in the last couple of years, stillborn, being born with encephalitis and other debilitating things happening to their bodies that fortunately they don't exist but for a few minutes and don't have to suffer the agonizing pain and distortions of the human body.
You've done a wealth of research into Fukushima. Can you tell us more about that? And has there been any attempt to cap the radiation that's coming out of Fukushima at all?
None whatsoever. Everything that they have done has been a superficial kind of a show to the public. And the public is not getting very much information. There has been zero containment of one of those three 100% catastrophic melt out and melt through, because it has melted through into the environment. And there's still nuclear fission there going on in the bare open atmosphere of the Earth. They have done nothing. They have pumped water through there, and the most radioactive of that water they're now storing in tens of thousands of tanks that are set up on a hillside, which is very geologically unstable because of the saturation and the leakage. And I don't know what good that does, because they've already released all of that water stored in all of those tanks into the Pacific three times now. When I think of it, they've done other superficial things, like put in, they tried to put in an ice barrier where they tried pumping liquid hydrogen into the ground and tried to freeze the ground. But what they found out is the leaking radioactive water will not freeze. Radioactive water will not freeze, and it flows right through their barriers. What they need to do, and would satisfy me, is if they had just 1% containment, just 1%. So they're going to have to do what the Russians did in Chernobyl. They're going to have to sacrifice some of their young men and women who ran in there throwing 1, 2, 3, 4 bricks and lead, and helicopter pilots flying over it for months on end, 24 hours a day, dropping lead and ball bearings and boron and concrete, bricks, anything they could get their hands on to curb the emission rate of that plant. And they were able to knock it down to 91% containment. Then they went in further and put in a sarcophagus, which is falling apart, and were able to curtail the emissions coming from Chernobyl to 95% is being trapped in that structure. Now, the difference here is Chernobyl's reactor was only a 30% loss of its nuclear fuel, where in Fukushima we have 300% plus. We don't even know.
Wow.
All of the fuel rods that were being stored above the reactors have all collapsed into the structure.
I heard tell about a month ago they sent a robot to go and contain the problem in Fukushima. What actually happened to that robot?
Actually, they sent two robots in. The first one died immediately. The second one survived for about 10 minutes and became stuck and unmaneuverable, and they were unable to pull it back out. But because of its exposure to intense gamma radiation and X-rays and microwaves that are being produced in the nuclear fission in the atmosphere of the Earth, the electronic components to the machine were fried in 10 minutes. And it was dead. Yeah.
So basically sending in a robot doesn't actually work at all. Nothing actually happened.
Well, they're just going to have heavier shielding, heavier wiring, go to solid state construction, because the microchips and the microprocessors are going to fail within minutes. So they're going back to the drawing board, back to solid state components, and maybe they'll have better luck, but that's going to make it heavier and larger and more bulky and harder to have a control, a delicate robotic advanced technology where it may be able to lift something up or move something out of the way. It won't have that kind of technology.
So
like a smart computer would do.
Fukushima actually represents one of the biggest threats to Earth at the moment. Is that your conclusion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a clusterfuck of epic proportions. The nuclear genie is out of the bottle and is running rampant across the planet. Now, we can't see it. We can't smell it. We can't hear it. And rarely can you taste it. You may get a tinny taste in your mouth. But for all intents and purposes, it is in the water. It is saturating the ground soil. It is being uptaken by all the crops and plants that have been harvested over the last 4 years and fed to the population. What's even more atrocious is most of that radioactive food that cannot be eaten in Japan, it can be eaten in the United States, and it is sent here because our standards are 12 times lower than those of the Japanese. So it's just fine. They can dilute the pollution with the solution is dilution. So they can take the radioactive food and mix it in with non-radioactive food and come up with a mean average that would be acceptable.
Now, the Yellowstone caldera, what's your personal opinion about any possible eruption? Because apparently we're overdue for a major eruption at Yellowstone. Have you seen any evidence whatsoever that this may be imminent?
Actually, I've seen quite a bit of evidence. I wouldn't say that it's imminent. It will erupt at some point. Is that point now? I can't give you a straight answer, but I can tell you since 2005 that there have been some very drastic changes in Yellowstone, and up to today, the park is closed because the roads are so hot that you can't get to Old Faithful and Devil's Lake, and most of the park is closed due to the road closures, but it is not closed as a federal park. They just discourage your travel in there, telling you that you're taking your personal safety at risk because the park is hot and unstable right now, and that you may step into a cauldron of hot mud or an unseen puddle of hot water or something of that nature. So it is closed, and there are lots of changes going on there.
What do you say to the morons who think this is just fear porn, who say, oh my God, we're all going to die? Do you think that's a reasonable assumption?
I don't think it's reasonable at all. I think that that's just a state of denial. Because it will happen. You know, if it's going to happen now is debatable. Probably not. But then again, you just never know when it comes to Mother Nature, volcanic and earthquake systems. Sometimes there's absolutely no warning. But in this case, I think we're getting ample warning. Since 1923 to current today in 2015, the park has risen by 30 to 32 inches in most parts of the park.
Wow.
Sulfur dioxide is polluting the main Yellowstone Lake. The North Norris Basin Lake has been completely displaced and inundating a forest to its south, and that's been occurring over the last decade. So, and also geysers that have not erupted in the last decade or so are now vigorously coming to life. So I wouldn't say that there are no indicators, because there certainly are. When the animals start leaving the park in large numbers, like some of the videos that I have recently seen, you may have seen them with dozens of bison leaving the park. The one I saw was hundreds, and they didn't care who was on the road, they were leaving. So that was very recently.
And the animals always do have an inkling about what's going to occur. In fact, during the 2004 tsunami that happened in Southeast Asia, all the elephants apparently abandoned Thailand. They went to the mountains hours before.
Yeah, 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So they have an in-tune ability to sense these things before they occur. Is that not correct?
I believe that's correct. And, you know, we also now we have some physical indicators of these larger scale events. There are magnetic stripes in the clouds. There are hums and bangs. And now it is my understanding that they can register piezonic energy, which is energy from pressure on fault lines. They can actually see a wavelength, a piezonic energy, and sometimes it's intense enough that you can see it from the ground reflecting off the clouds, or maybe just in the sky itself. A rainbow without a cloud in the sky, you're seeing piezonic energy building up, and an earthquake is more than likely going to occur.
And wow, this is fascinating. You've done a lot of research that I've been following on your radio show called Liberation Nation, which you host every Monday and Tuesday. Is that not correct?
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. I try to keep the public aware of the things that are most relevant to their lives. And it absolutely has to do with the food, our food supply in North America, our energy supply, like the release of methane hydrates are now coming up from Lake Superior. And that's well beneath the Arctic Circle. So the methane hydrate problem is becoming a critical issue. Now, sailing of the large cargo ships on Lake Superior has been halted and rerouted to the other side of the lake because there's absolutely no buoyancy. This is a disruption in our commerce. Also, you have these atmospheric rivers of water that are just pouring 10, 20, 30, 40 inches of water over one area and not moving very quickly, say like over Dallas, Oklahoma, what's going on there now. And transversely, on the other side of the world, where it should be raining and monsoon, up to 10, 20, 30, 50 inches of or more of rain per year, are having heat waves that have already cost 2,300 lives and is estimated to go up by 1 degree per day, which will multiply the death rate. These are things that are pertinent to us right now, occurring in real time this week on our planet Earth. And people just are not aware that these things are going on.
Now, one fascinating area of research that you've uncovered, is that, in fact, there is a wave of earthquake activity that actually happens from point to point on planet Earth. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it's a mantle wave or a gyroscopic wave made up of the magnetic particles and metals in the Earth, and the spinning of that mantle underneath the crust of the Earth and from the core create the magnetic field of the Earth. Now, there are waves in the magma that go under the crust. Now, it's much more violent. The movement is much more violent the deeper you go down. So imagine this, if you can. Right underneath the crust, there are voids and chasms like bays and inlets like on the ocean. And, of course, when you're that close to the shoreline, the water kind of backs up a little bit. It stops and it slows down, and it's nowhere as ferocious and voracious as it is further out at sea. Well, that's the same thing that's going on underneath the crust of the Earth, but just like there are rogue waves in the ocean and the ocean currents are pulled around the globe by the moon, the same thing is going on with the magma under the crust of the Earth. But it's not as prominent as a wave on the ocean. Now, as this wave goes under the crust of the Earth, and we've been able to watch it recently and dang near track this, its every movement, as it moves under continents and sea basins, the earthquakes and the volcanoes pick up at a drastic rate, and then they fall off at the same drastic rate as it moves further and further west. And right now it's in the area of just moving past the Philippines and moving into the Mediterranean and African continent underneath that. And, of course, there are more than just one or two of these waves, but there are one or two that are more prominent than others.
Fascinating
now,
stuff.
Right. And now when you get in a setup where you have something that comes close to the planet – like Venus or a comet or something, that wave becomes more pronounced and it begins to actually terraform and resurface the top of the crust as that wave rises up. And this is called mega thrusting. And we haven't seen anything on this planet like that in probably 5,500 years, going back to 13,000 years.
This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with special guest tonight, Earthplay, a.k.a. Rick Chicago, live on radio. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Bowser. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
You're listening to the People Speak Radio Show, coming to you live across America and across the world. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, for tonight, and we're back with our guest. He's an amateur astronomer and a radio host on freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio, for the last 6 years. Welcome back there, Mr. Earthplay, sir.
Thank you, Steve.
I've once heard you say on your own radio show that America is under serious threat of tyranny. Do you believe this is because of the current leadership in the government?
What leadership in the government? Are you kidding, these squirrely bastards? Yeah, you're going to get me all riled up here now. These constitution-free zones that we have set up in America and the Border Patrol, who is tasked with immigration, harassing American citizens throughout the country, declaring our cities and our country constitution-free zones, you know, I'm ready to kick some ass here, to tell you the truth. And the Jade Helm scenario is just going to get more and more scary as it goes. It hasn't even started yet. And look at how the people are reacting, having equipment and supplies and communication centers and key logistics personnel moving around in the United States, and they haven't even put any boots on the ground yet.
Wow. For those people who don't think that this is live radio, can you just let them know this is live?
This is absolutely as live as it gets, folks.
As a military brat, you've traveled the world in your time. What are some of the countries you have visited and have lived in?
Mostly just Japan. I was a 10-year-old kid in Japan and went through one of the major earthquakes that the country had ever experienced in Zama, Japan. That was back in 1971, I believe. Wow. And I lived and went to high school in Frankfurt and Darmstadt, Germany. And I lived in Wiesbaden. I was born in Heidelberg.
So you were born in Heidelberg?
Yeah, I've been all over the freaking planet, but as a young child, I don't remember living in some places, and others I remember vividly.
Goodness me, so you've had a lot of experience internationally.
Well, it's a two-sided coin there. I spent most of my time with the American community, and especially as an American teenager, listening to Kiss and Pink Floyd and you know, all the cool 70s bands that we had as a teenager in Germany. So the only exposure I really had to the German economy at that time was going to all the American concerts.
Mm. So, what's your personal opinion about 9/11? Do you believe that 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters did that and took down the towers?
I don't know what to think. Nothing about the government's version of this makes any sense whatsoever. None. How the airplanes were completely incinerated in the buildings, but yet they were finding the passports of the terrorists on the sidewalks. You know, and some of those guys that they claimed were the terrorists are still alive.
Yeah.
All I know is the only version of this that is not true is the federal government's version.
Right. The official story is complete
right.
garbage.
There's no part of it that I can believe. How two buildings over 100 stories high could implode right into their own footprint. That has never happened in a natural disaster that I can, you know, think of.
And especially Building 7, the steel frame structure.
There was absolutely no reason that building should have came down whatsoever.
Mm.
None, except that it belonged to, you know, portions of the banking and federal government. We're not even sure what was in that building.
So who in your mind were the masterminds of 9/11? Was it Bin Laden? Was it PNAC? Was it Mossad or Larry Silverstein, Dick Cheney, or all the above?
I don't think it was any of them, to tell you the truth. They may have been complicit at some level. You know how our government and our military is so compartmentalized that the guy sitting in the cube next to you has no idea what you're working on or what you're doing. You're not allowed to talk to them. You're not allowed to have contact with them. I think that there's a force that walks in tandem to our society and to our government. And that is leading all of this. And I'm not saying it's extraterrestrial or anything like that. There is an obvious force walking in tandem to our society that is using the monetary system and global resources to control all of the countries. Now, if we want to blame that on Israel or the Jews or the IMF or the UN, you know, they're all complicit in it to some degree, but does one hand know what the other hand is doing? And who is actually orchestrating all of this, I think, is a wider question. It's not the Committee of 300, or is it? You know?
That's right.
We won't know until we start to shatter their system.
Well, you mentioned the taboo topic of Israel. Do you believe that they are instrumental in what's happening to America today?
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you here, Steve. I think it's a bastard nation, and it should not exist in the way that it does exist. It was a pretense and a lie. And I think that if I had been there at the time, I would have believed it, and I would have voted for Israel myself. But they were to set up a new nation called Palestine, which they have just made into a dirty word, and created the nation of Israel as an example of how you live in this world and with your neighbors in peace, under the rule of law, moving into an academic and a cultural society. They have not been an example of peace. They have not been an example of love. They have not been an example of living with your neighbors in peace. They have not been an academic or any other kind of a beacon or icon to humanity. They have done the exact opposite of every single thing that they told us that they were going to create there.
Yes,
and
indeed.
All they have created is a quagmire of death. I don't know what else you could call it. It's just a lie, and it should not be able to exist and continue.
So would you say that the methane hydrates that are, they're exploding now across the Arctic and across the Siberian tundra, is this one of the greatest threats facing our world today?
Well, it's kind of a coin toss, for me at least, between Fukushima and methane hydrates, because the scientists, and they were based out of the University of Alaska, and of course you're all familiar with the famous female Russian scientist. She was actually the lead professor on this at the university, and it's their contention, okay, not my reporting, but they're saying that at the rates that are already being released, we're not, you know, no, we don't need any more future releases. We don't need any catastrophic releases. Just at the amounts that are being released to this point, that the Earth will be uninhabitable by the year 2026.
Wow.
In 11 years. So if we get a massive eruption of methane hydrates, you know, that's going to cut it down to like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. So the timetable drastically gets slashed.
So this is more of a problem than the CO2, than the carbon dioxide that they're claiming that is causing the climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
The atmospheric bubble of the Earth would be in complete turmoil and chaos. We wouldn't know where the jet streams were or what they were doing until they hit you. The oceans, there would be upheavals and massive broiling and movement and displacement of all the global oceans. But you wouldn't even notice that because of all the atmospheric disturbances, the lightning, the thunderstorms, the convection, the flashes of light, and perhaps even earthquakes would accompany that. So, and you wouldn't have very much time after that. I mean, it would only just get worse and worse and worse as the minutes went by. If you've ever been in the middle of a hurricane or a tornado and you think that it can't get any worse, well, you absolutely know that, yeah, it can get worse, because not only will it take away your house, your block, your neighborhood, it may take away your whole town or your entire city.
What happens every day. What in your research have you ever found any evidence whatsoever of a heavy mass object in our solar system?
yeah, I see where you're going here with this. I think that these people that are reporting this stuff are being very disingenuous, because they're totally dismissing their local environment, the place where they live, the Earth's magnetic field. You know, this is the important thing, the Earth's magnetic field and the atmospheric bubble around the Earth and how it's acting. And it's not acting like a heavy mass object has grabbed a hold of it from the Leo constellation, grabbed a hold of it and shaking it around. That's not the case at all. We have 60 very fragile spacecraft out there monitoring space, and they're still out there. They haven't been hit by any mass object, been caught in any gravity welds. We have the International Boundary Explorer looking out there beyond the heliosphere of the Earth, actually. We got the High Energy Stereoscopic Survey. We got the Chandra X-ray Observatory. We have Fermi 2. So we have a really, really good eye on what's going on in our solar system. And it's been really disingenuous of these people, because now the most exciting events that have ever occurred in our solar system are occurring, but people don't want to look. They've already heard about all this doom and gloom crap, so you can't even mention a comet. And if you were looking at the ones that are passing Earth right now, you would have a lot of questions like, why is it green? Why is it blue? Why is it red? Well, that's because of the electrical fields around the comas. And the government and NASA, they don't want to talk about that, because they're just supposed to be icy little fluffy snowballs that were knocked inwards from the Oort cloud, when they are obviously, this is not what we're seeing up there. But we can't get anybody to look now. And even in the case of Comet Lovejoy, which is a comet right now that you can look at, there are pictures of it, and you're going to say, well, why is it green? but they won't tell you why it's green. They won't talk about magnetic fields and comas. They just say, well, it's a solar wind hitting it, you know, with highly charged particles, which is, you know, partly right, but they're not telling you the whole story.
That's right. Never a straight answer. That's what NASA
never
stands.
Never. You see, and now these things are occurring all around us, and nobody's paying any attention to it.
I can't possibly do an interview with Mr. Earthplay, Rick Chicago, without mentioning the fascinating and fantastic work of Professor Jim McCaney. Do you want to do a shout-out for him?
Oh, hey, how you doing out there, Jim? I tried not to mention his name, but you did, shout-out to him.
A lot of your research is in tandem with what he's finding in the Earth.
Yeah, and his last week's lecture was really interesting. He was talking about water. Like, he's always talking about water. And I think that he's onto something here, that in the future, wars will probably be fought over water because the governments are already saying so. So, you know, they never lie to us, and not over war. I mean, if they say they want war, they always want war. But he's talking about water and the state of water and how we need to get it filtrated now. But one thing that he was talking about was, you know, Stephen Hawking recently is jumping up and down telling us, if we have contact with aliens, don't answer. It's a bad idea. And they believe that they got a radio message or an anomaly at the frequency of water, which obviously permeates all of space, because they found an anomalous signal, and they're wondering if they should try to answer it. Send it back in the wavelength of hydrogen and water and see if anybody answers. And this is what Stephen Hawking has been jumping up and down about, well, rolling back and forth about over this, should we answer this message or not? You know, if you ask me, I say that's flirting with disaster. We have enough already.
We got enough things on our plate on planet Earth at the moment to
right.
be worried things right. of extraterrestrial nature.
Yeah, and it does make you kind of – I've never been one that believed in alien abductions or UFOs, but millions of people are experiencing something. And they're not – every one of them are not a Fruit Loop. I mean, you know, scientists, doctors, policemen, firemen, school teachers, people like you and me and people in this chat room who have had experiences, and that doesn't – get me to jump over the fence believing in aliens and UFOs, but we're having some kind of experience of some kind. We just don't know how to describe it or exactly what it is even is. And I believe it's part of this conditioning of this force that walks in tandem to our society or government. Maybe it's a remnant society of an ancient herd of human beings that survived devastations in the past, that maybe have remnants of their technology with them. Maybe it's a segment of our society that is so far advanced, 50, 100 years more advanced, which is much more likely.
Do you believe a lot of the history that is taught to us is actually fabricated, that we're not taught the real history of the human race?
Are you allowed to say bull crap on the radio?
Because
it is all bull crap. They go into these archaeological sites and they find remnants and fragments of things that are very quickly sequestered and packed away and hidden away and taken to the Smithsonian, to the Louvre. The Russians are into it. The Israelis are into it. The Chinese are into it. It's the thing to be into these days, sequestering and squandering artifacts that rightfully belong to our entire civilization. But yet we never get to see them. We don't even have a clue as to half of the things that they've confiscated in the name of humanity.
And taken away from our collective knowledge.
Well, look at the vaults of the Vatican.
The
11
Vatican?
Or to 22 miles of underground vaults. Well, what did they got down there?
Exactly.
You know, so
there's a lot of questions that
it's all orchestrated, like the story of World War II. Who started World War II? You know,
well, who do you believe started World War II? Wasn't that the Germans?
I know who started World War II. They started World War I. It's the same people, and they're going to start World War III. The people who started World War II, it was not Hitler moving into Poland in 1938. It was the World Jewish Congress that declared war on Germany in 1919 and then again in 1929.
And those who made
World War II was only a response to that.
And those who made the money out of it, like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, the big bankers.
Right. You know, the DuPont Chemical Company was making jet fuel for the German aircraft. You know, where are they based? In New York. How are they getting the fuel to Germany?
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. What are your thoughts about the revelations by Edward Snowden on the spying, the complete spying of not only America, but the entire world, everybody's phone calls and emails? What are your thoughts on Edward Snowden?
You know, I hear a lot of people bagging on Snowden, but I think that he is a true patriot. If you see wrongdoing, corruption, and something that is just blatantly illegal and wrong and offensive to the American people, I think it's your duty to stand up and say something. That's why I'm not afraid to go on the radio anymore. And I guess it, for the most part, has been verified that almost everything that Snowden has said has come to volition.
Yes,
it's true.
Yeah.
Not see him as a criminal, as a treasonous. He told it to the American people. The federal government wanted to execute him, and he ran away to Russia. You know, that's a hell of a way to make an American feel about doing the right thing.
About being a patriot.
Yes.
You talk a lot about the Bravo Sierra listening post. Can you clarify, who is Bravo Sierra? What does that mean?
Bravo Sierra is a call sign for the NSA listening post that I periodically throw out on my radio station. A big shout out to the NSA listening post, Bravo Sierra, which is actually code language. Take the B and the S.
Oh, okay. So that's phonetic language, as in the NSA is all BS.
And bullcrap. That's absolutely right. So, you probably get more exposure with your federal government by doing radio shows like this and speaking your mind than you probably would at a town hall meeting at the podium with your politicians in the same room with you, because they're listening to you. But let's just hope that they're actually listening to what we're saying. Stop it.
And a lot of these people who actually do listen in would probably be woken up by the truth, in fact.
Well, you know, and I try to guilt police officers whenever I run into them, and I always say that, and I should take my own advice, whenever you come into contact with law enforcement, the results are never going to be good. It's never going to be in your best interest to come in contact with law enforcement, even if you think you're doing the right thing. But now I've gotten to the point where I try to guilt them on purpose. If they're standing outside of a coffee shop because there's a lot of people in the mall or something at Christmas, I was like, well, how do you feel about constitution-free zones in America?
What?
I said, well, did you know that? Yeah, exactly. And he's going, well, that's screwed up. You know, I'm an American citizen too. You know, do I have to stop at these roads? Well, if you're not in your uniform, you sure as hell do. So that is kind of the angle that I'm trying to get to them. You know, you're going to do your duty to the best of your ability. When they tell you to line up in the street of Ferguson, is that all right with you?
What?
You know, well, we have to do our duty to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
Well,
and
you know, at what point does your conscience play a role here?
And most of them give the same old, age-old answer, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing what I'm paid to do. That's
exactly.
All.
Exactly. And they're exonerated through the legal system that they now serve and protect. It used to be that they served and protect society, but that is completely reversed society.
It used to be that police officers gave a damn about the community. They cared about the people in this society. They care only for the corporate America structure system today.
Well, in all fairness, there are still a good handful of police officers that still have their humanity.
Really?
I do believe it. I saw a story recently about an Albuquerque police officer who had run across a family who had been repeatedly burglarized and down on their luck, and the kid's sole possession, his bicycle, had got stolen in the last one, and he, you know, acted like a human being and bought the kid a new bike.
Wow.
You know, that's the old police officers that I remember. You know, they're going to pull up their car behind you to help you change a tire and to keep you from being hit by the traffic. Nowadays, they're going to give you a ticket for defective equipment and have your car towed away.
That's right. Yeah, there's no humanity left as far as I can see.
Yeah, these are, you know, just some of the subtle observations that I have, you know, observed.
Well, one last question, Mr. Earthplay. Do you support the stop funding of Israel?
Oh, absolutely. I do, absolutely. I think that the premise that this country was founded on is a myth. It's a lie. It's a deception. These people act worse than the Nazis. You know, they thought that they were second-class citizens in Germany. Well, the inhabitants of that region are third-class citizens living in an open-air prison camp with checkpoints and daily patrols, bulldozers and teams of inspectors coming through your houses and buildings every single day. And if they don't like it, they'll bulldoze it down. And then they claim that overnight someone built a rocket complex in a schoolyard or a hospital parking lot, which gave them reason to blow these facilities out of existence. In all truth, the only thing being fired from them are pieces of pipes and tubes that are being packed with chemical propellants, whatever, you know, you can mix together, and shoot it over the border. No Israeli has ever been killed, but 12,000 Palestinians have been killed over the last year in these missile attack retaliations. Now, you know, Israel has the right to defend itself. Well, absolutely. But how many people have been killed on the Israeli side and how many have been killed on the Palestinian side? And the news that we hear is that Israel was attacked today. Multiple rockets land in Israel. Well, they're chemically propelled. They're not. They don't have fins, guidance systems, or even explosives. The best they have is a mixture of napalm, so if it hits anything, it'll spread out and catch on fire. It's about the best they can do.
You've been listening to the People Speak radio show with special guest Earthplay. I'd like to thank him and remind all the listeners to visit his YouTube channel called Earthplay Full on YouTube. And thank you very much, Mr. Earthplay. Your radio show airs every Monday and Tuesday from 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Mr. Earthplay.
Thank you, Steve. It was a pleasure to be here.
Big thanks go out to the producers, Mike and Donald, and to all my friends throughout the world, and to all the guys that give me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for me, for now, take care, and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.